Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
You know, there's always seems to be new diets and things that promise to help you lose weight. And it's always a very kind of confusing world. And here to clear up veggies, junk food, what we should and shouldn't be eating is Dr. Lane Norton. He's a nutritional sciences professor that graduated from the University of Illinois, same as I did, my alma mater. He's also the owner of BioLane LLC, a nutrition and training consulting company. Welcome to the show, Dr. Norton. Let's talk about diets, why they mostly fail, and what are some of the most, I like to tell people journaling works really well, keeping track, having somebody that you do these things with, accountability to yourself. What do you think are some of the best things that help people succeed when they're trying to lose weight?
Yeah, good question. And if you look at the NHANES data from what we have in terms of, you know, if you look at diets, I always do this seminars. I ask people, you know, how many people out here think we have a weight loss problem in this society? And everybody raises their hand, and I say, you're wrong. 6 out of every 7 people who are overweight in this country will lose a significant amount of body weight in their life. The problem becomes is they cannot keep it off. We have a weight regain problem, not a weight loss problem. If you look at the success rate of diets and you actually look at how many people are successful at keeping the weight off they lose, at 1 year post-diet, 70% of people have relapsed to their previous weight or more. At 2 years post-diet, 85% have relapsed or more. And at 3 years, the failure rate is 95% have relapsed to previous weight. And of those people who relapse, approximately one-half to two-thirds will actually put on more weight than they originally had. They're actually better off if they never dieted. They're actually worse off now. And so if you look at the people who actually have the five percenters, I guess you could say, the people who actually keep weight off, the number one trait that they have is self-monitoring. So they don't necessarily practice elimination diets where they say, don't eat these foods, eat these foods. They typically include almost all foods and just keep a system of monitoring in place so they don't overconsume them. I always talk about, you know, people have done different diets, whether it be ketogenic diet or paleo or, you know, name your flavor of the month. And I always say, can you see yourself doing that for the rest of your life? Because if you can't, you really need to reconsider what you're doing, because the research data says you're going to regain all that weight.
Tell us about a flexible diet. And I know that as the person that I am, I'm an exercise physiologist and nutritionist, and I speak about this all the time, and I tell people about what I call moderation. Is that similar to the flexible diet? What are you talking about?
Sure. So the idea of flexible dieting is that you basically, your diet is a budget, okay? And so if I try to get people to monitor their protein, carbohydrate, fat intake, not necessarily being obsessive about it, but just understanding what it is. And we have a lot of good tools out there now, like MyFitnessPal or MyMacros Plus, which is an app for iPhone, to help us track. Basically, you plug in what you ate, and it'll tell you what it has in it. And so, for example, if I have somebody who has a pretty fast metabolism and they can consume, you know, 2,500 calories a day and lose weight, if they hit all their targets and they get enough fiber in per day and they hit, you know, all these sorts of things, can they afford to have some ice cream at the end of the day if they have enough room in their calories and in their quote-unquote budget? Of course they can, just like the same way that somebody who makes $1 million a year, if they take care of their mortgage and they take care of their retirement and their kids' college fund and all these check marks they have to check off, if they want to go take $50,000 and go buy a sports car, can they afford to do that? Of course. But by the same token, if somebody has a slower metabolism and they can't consume as many calories, they have to consume, you know, 1,500 to lose weight, are they going to be able to afford to fit quite a bit of ice cream into their diet? Of course not. In the same way that somebody who makes $50,000 a year shouldn't go and buy a $50,000 sports car if it means they can't pay their mortgage and they can't put money into their retirement, those sorts of things. Because as I've promoted flexible dieting, a lot of people will kind of make the extremist argument that, well, you're just trying to give people an excuse to eat junk food. I'm not trying to give people an excuse to eat junk food. What I'm trying to do is stop the demonization of foods. For example, there's very little research that shows that any food is just inherently bad in any amount. So even something like, let's say, high fructose corn syrup, which most people seem to believe is the second coming of Satan himself.
Yeah.
You know, high fructose corn syrup, when you control for calories, so people who are controlled in calories and not overconsumed, there's been shown to be no negative health outcomes when calories are controlled for. Now, the problem with high fructose corn syrup is that it tastes very good. It has a minimal impact on hunger, and so people tend to more easily overconsume that.
That's right. It's about the overindulgence of those things.
That's correct. And so the point being is, if you have certain foods that you know you tend to overindulge on, then maybe you do have to limit the consumption of those foods. But if for example, I see this a lot, that people, they will try to, they'll say, I'm never having a cheat food again. I'm just eating clean for the rest of my life, essentially. And, you know, what tends to happen is that when they are forced, or when they are pressured, or when they can't control every single thing around them, if they go out to dinner, or if they can't have access to the foods they normally make themselves, they tend to binge eat. And so,
and then they feel guilty, and then it builds on itself,
exactly.
Because then they feel like they screwed up. And you, when I hear that, it makes me crazy, because I hear people say, I'm never going to have that again. Or I was told I'm pre-diabetic, and so I'm never going to eat a grain, and I'm never going to eat.
Right.
And I'm like, really? So it was lentils that gave you pre-diabetes, or it was quinoa. Really? That's what gave, it was a carrot. You know, I always find that remarkable when people say, I'm no more sugar, no more sugar. Really? Well,
yeah.
A tomato has sugar. So you're not going to eat a tomato anymore. So yes, I'm right with you. And I think that when people deprive themselves too completely, then they end up binge eating whatever it is. So tell us what you want people to do on a day-to-day. We only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. So really give us your best advice.
So the best thing I can tell people is to start just monitoring what you're eating. So teach yourself how to track your protein and carbon.
That's what I was talking about, journaling. Keep going.
Right. Right, exactly. So track that, and so get a good idea after about a week using these tools like MyFitnessPal.com or MyMacrosPlus, and try it for about a week and see where your calories are at. And if your goal is weight loss, then start subtracting a little bit out. But try to do it in a way that impacts your life as minimal as possible. So if you like ice cream, sure, keep the ice cream, but maybe try to find a lower calorie version. Or if you like pizza, maybe try making a pizza at home and substituting out some higher calorie ingredients for lower calorie ingredients, and find a way to trim 200-300 calories off that amount.
Very
and
sensible.
Then just, exactly. And then just keep tracking, monitoring how your body responds, because that will teach you more about nutrition than anything else. And just being consistent, understanding there aren't magic foods, and that it's okay to include a quote-unquote bad food, as long as it's done in moderation. And tracking and journaling, as you said, will help you determine what your moderation is based on what calories you need to consume to lose or maintain weight.
Absolutely. Very, very sensible advice. You can read more at biolane.com, but I completely agree with him. It's absolutely the best advice. Moderation is the key. If something is something you binge on, well, maybe you steer clear of it just a little bit. But if you are somebody who really needs to just cut the calories, look at what you're eating, journal it out. If you're making a pizza, break it down to low moisture, part skim mozzarella instead of full fat. You know, look at the products that you're using, the ingredients. Use whole foods whenever possible. And just cut out some of the calories. But journaling, definitely great information and very, very sensible. Right here on RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. More great show coming up. Stay tuned and stay well.